about government, music, art, health, science, ecology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, John Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this January the 25th on the West Coast and January the 26th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zones. We'd also like to welcome those listening in on blogtalkradio.com, that's correct, and Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world. It's been a long, busy day, and I did a two-and-a-half-hour show with Drew Raines today, and attorney Mario Apuzzo, or Apuzzo, some might say, who is representing Charles Kirchner in a birth certificate lawsuit against the long-legged Mac Daddy. And this is a case originating out of New Jersey. I don't have all the particulars on it, though I've heard references to it, and of course I got to listen to his attorney speak today and ask him some questions and raise some issues. Certainly, there are many torts that one can levy against this whole government, for that matter, and just because they are the government doesn't give them license to commit the vast number of crimes that they're committing. The laws fit everyone or nobody, as far as I see it. As far as they're concerned, the laws don't apply to them. And the show was so exciting, we extended it an extra half an hour, so I did 2.5 hours of radio. However, I'm fired up and ready to go. Tonight's guest is a talk show host in his own right. He is also a naturopathic doctor and author. His radio show on Republic Broadcasting Network is called The Story Behind the Story. He is now a frequent guest on Evident Footprints. My good friend, Dr. A. True Ott. True, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Don. I would have liked to listen to that show with Drew today and you. Tell me the highlights of it, if you would.
Well, Mr. Apuzzo was very detailed in describing standing, okay? Standing meaning that some act that has been perpetrated by the long-legged Mac Daddy affects one of us or all of us individually or collectively directly by causing us some harm, and it would have to be in our particular state. Well, I can think of a number of reasons to have standing. For instance, the fraud being perpetrated upon the public and the assignment of debt of corporations that have literally moved out of the country.
Huh?
I mean, this is international money laundering, and certainly to assign that debt to us is a form of extortion or blackmail to require us to pay it or to extract it from our wages, from the cost of goods, from services available to us, not to mention the theft of the public funds that we pay in bond issues and taxes and all. Oh, it's just, I could go on and on. So the issue of standing regarding his birth certificate has to do with the fraud that he's perpetrated upon the public, including who he is. Illegitimate documentation. He's violated every aspect of this Constitution, and I pointed that out to him. I beat it to death, we'll say.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And he was very gracious. Of course, he's an attorney. He's practicing law in their environment, in their field. And and so, you know, he's got to maintain his means of earning a living. I understand that. But to turn the cheek or to deny, you know, he was very succinct in stating that we live in a constitutional republic, although they, you know, I pointed out that they promote democracy and their interest is really in in overtaking this country, bringing the country to its knees. And I basically said, we've just experienced a communist coup against this country. And there's no doubt about that. This is organized crime. And, he took these issues to heart. Don't get me wrong. Drew brought up some very good points as well, along the same lines. And, of course, I brought up the massive financial corruption, the fact that this ring, this organized crime ring that has been operating since Operation Paperclip has been involved in the money laundering and the theft of real estate to the tune of millions of properties. We're not even talking about the value of the properties. People are out on the streets, and this is being overlooked and non-reported, and I mentioned that I hold the media complicit in this. It is a conspiracy, and I don't want to hear the word theory after the word conspiracy. It operates perfectly well with the few letters that it has. You don't need to add smoke and mirrors to it and muddy the waters any more than they already are. So it was interesting. 2.5 hours.
Yeah, did he comment on the Orly Tate's situation and/or the Philip Berg lawsuits? Or
Drew brought that up, and he was commenting about the particular judges in the particular circuit courts. In other words, one judge in one area might rule a certain way, and a judge in another place is going to rule another way. But he did bring up the issue of how the law has sort of taken on this. I'm going to paraphrase what he said. I'd have to go back and listen to the archive, actually, to, you know, verbatim say what he said. But he was saying something to the effect that as they establish case law, then they twist the words or they spin the words. And I'm paraphrasing here. He didn't use either of those two words, twist or spin. I'm using it, but they manufacture the desired outcome by how they address the case law and how they interpret the law that's there right now. For instance, he says, well, they don't want to politicize, yet they're politicians. So you have this dichotomy. A judge is a politician. He runs for a political office, or he's appointed by a politician. You see? And I said, I'm apolitical. I'm looking at the corruption. It's equal on both sides of the aisle. It's not a question of, am I against the Democrats or the Republicans? They're all crooks. They're all thugs, as far as I see it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's it's amazing. I don't know if you heard my show today with John DeCamp, the author of the Franklin cover. Did you hear the show?
Yes, I did, and I'm quite familiar with that whole topic and his book and his documentary film, The Whole Nine Yards, and talked at length with Ted Gunderson about this, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I liked what he had to say about his relationship or acquaintance with CIA Director Colby, William Colby, who flat out informed him all about the mind control issues going on and the Manchurian candidate structures. Now, there's a book that I'm into, been reading quite a bit of this called The Black Awakening. Don, that's an incredible expose of this mind control Manchurian candidate network that is really quite extensive. If you understand that there's some estimates of up to 2 million of these throughout this country and into Canada, you can get some idea that if these are all activated to the point where they bring anarchy into bear, you know, where they have some programming, for instance, that where they attack police stations, police officers are all targeted, and or you start looking at the power grid attacks, it can wreak havoc. I mean, in rapid fire succession across this country, and that would kind of make sense as to why we have Obama preparing for what he calls a civil war. Think about it. Think of what happened to the 2 million mind-controlled hypnotic slaves just doing their job, and they're in all walks of life, from your professionals, doctors, lawyers, even into judges, into the military, of course, into a lot of police departments, but they're all just set to start shooting. The author of this book, The Black Awakening, is in your state there in Ohio. Just quite an amazing read. I'm quite impressed with what he's done, because I too have worked with some of these multiple personality disorder individuals. I've seen firsthand the literal demonic entities that are in them. And this, again, ties into world communism. It ties into a very rabid part of the homosexual, gay, and lesbian community. It's not all gays or lesbians are tied into this, but very many are. And it's just a very, very dark cancer that's growing in this country. Now, John DeCamp is state senator from Nebraska and a licensed attorney. He didn't have any reason to even suspect or believe these stories of these kids when they first came out with all of this, and he thought they were perhaps, you know, delusional or maybe on drugs or something. But as he investigated, he found out this is really an amazing, amazing story. And so he wrote the book, The Franklin Cover-Up, to document the facts in the matter.
Well, certainly in that story, Boys Town, to some extent, was implicated. And I can tell you from personal experience, and I don't mean having been there, but knowing people that attended that school and participated with the Mitchell Choir Boys, that those stories are true.
Yes.
Quite true.
Well, there was an interesting correspondence with my other guest, Doug Millar, who was on with John. Doug explained to me a number of times about actually talking with Jesse Ventura's son, and he asked him what are the topics of Ventura's new show on conspiracy really caused him the most concern, and it was without a doubt the section he did, the episode he did on the mind control technologies. And what's really going on in again, millions of people's lives right now. Don't forget, we have during the Bush era, we had the secret meetings of Congress. The reports that leaked out said they were to prepare for basically an anarchy and a civil war in America. So I think as things get hot for these Satanists in high levels, not least of which is the usurper without a birth certificate in the White House right now. The wag the dog scenario, as I see it, again, is the unleashing of these nihilist forces, these individuals that can surely disrupt everything as far as peace and harmony is concerned. Look at his recent executive orders, which really empower the Interpol forces. Would it not make sense that 50,000 Interpol troops would be, and police forces would be needed to somewhat bring some semblance of law and order back in America in the disguise of civil war when these nihilists are released. It's again, it's an amazing story. The book is called The Black Awakening.
And who's the author on that?
Didzik. His last name is Didzik, I believe. I'm not sure. I don't have the book in front of me, but he's... I think it's Russ Didzik.
Didzar, would it be?
Didzar, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Russ Didzar, okay. Yes, I'm familiar with him.
So, yeah, what's your opinion of that?
Well, my guesstimation would be it's more like 10 million of these characters,
uh-huh.
of these Manchurian candidates. And I think if you were to talk to Bryce Taylor, Arizona Wilder, Cisco Wheeler, they would probably say the same thing. They're quite familiar. Now, many of these stories dovetail, especially in the information that Bryce Taylor brings forth. She shows the connection between the presidents and the secret societies and the entertainment community. And we're talking about actors and singers, various entertainers that she was forced to have sex with. Sometimes just hours after being with a president in Washington or on a yacht in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. Henry Kissinger played a role in that. Bob Hope was her handler. So there's your connection to the entertainment industry right there.
And I think about the big new Brzezinski. You know, he actually was here in Utah, Don, just this last week, giving some talks and symposium there on Brigham Young University campus, of all things. So when you think about the occultic underpinnings of the LDS Church, for instance, and the mass mind control techniques used there, it's not beyond the realm of possibility to have a group of mass hypnotized individuals doing some very, very dastardly, drastic things. Again, and they're not really, when they switch into their multiple personality alters, they're really not in control. So they've been used basically like a puppet would be used.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes right back to the man in the White House right now, the clone, whatever you want to call him, in the White House. He is most definitely a product of this neurolinguistic programming. The way he utilizes NLP throughout his speeches tomorrow, I'm sure, or whenever he gives the State of the Union address, he'll give a lot of NLP hypnotic programming through his speech. He's a master at it. He's a master at it. And, you know, listeners, if you want to learn more about it, just do a search engine of neuro-linguistic program techniques, or NLP, and you'll see such documents, such a YouTube video of a trained NLP programmer walking down the street and being able, just by his technique, to get people to give them valuables such as a wristwatch off their wrist or their wallet or whatever. It's just the way they can quickly hypnotize their subject. And he is the master. I'm telling you, he's very skilled at this, and it's part of his upbringing and wherever he was trained and Russia or wherever he came from. I mean, that's the big question mark.
Yes. Well, when I listen to him, and I try not to, but if I'm in an enclosed environment, let's say, where I can't get away from the sound, I pay attention to the words he's using. I find myself analyzing everything he's saying.
Uh-huh.
And what I notice is that it's an endless stream of lies.
Uh-huh.
There's no truth in anything he's saying. And
it's the inflection and the way he gives it. That's all NLP is. It's hypnotizing with the voice and the techniques of the way it's said. Okay.
And hand gestures and things like that. Yes,
exactly.
Of course. He comes across as an authority. But there's no truth in anything he's saying. There's no foundational validity to even be saying many of the things he's saying.
You know, he gets up and he talks about the problem with no campaign reform and all of this PAC money coming into play with the corporations. Yet the biggest problem facing the body politic in Washington D.C. is just like John DeCamp said. this crazy system, satanic ritual abuse, and just the absolute power base. Like we said, absolute power corrupts absolutely, and that's exactly what's happening here. It's and they just think they're above the law. They think they can circumvent the Constitution, the laws of the land, as you said so very well. It's a law, rule of law is there to protect everybody, and our ability to earn a living is impacted when these things are not upheld. And so, yeah, who has standing? Well, everybody has standing that's affected by this. And you know, I found an interesting piece, Don, concerning the rationale for including that in the Constitution by the Founding Fathers. Why is it that you need to be of natural birth, natural-born citizen here? Well, because they knew that it was a spiritual connection that is very real. When the chips are down and when you have to do the right thing, you will more likely do so if you have a spiritual connection to the land in which you were born.
Well, it's funny you should mention that, because even the central bankers that came here in the late 1800s and early 1900s, and trust me, I've seen thousands of documents along the lines of when they came into the country and what they said each visit that they made to New York City as to where they're from, as to their citizenship. All of these people are illegal. You know, the very banks themselves are founded on infiltrators, okay?
Right.
Spelling traitor with an I, T-R-A-I-T-O-R-S. Okay, they are people that came here as agents for the international banksters,
mm-hmm.
and they set up their organized crime under the guise of what repositories for the safekeeping of people's money, and all they've done ever since is stolen it. And
right.
You know, the laws that have been written are to their benefit. Who gets the stimulus money? I mean, even today, with all the money that they have, all the money they've stolen, they need stimulus money to keep from going under. These insurance companies need to be refinanced. What did they do with the money? They're not making payments to anybody. That's certain. See, in the end, it's all going to come out. In the end, we win. But in the meantime, the whole world has to suffer because of a cabal of criminals that are running the show.
Yep, exactly. And again, we go back to that the book on the Black Awakening, and it's very, very much an integral part of this as well. And I gave a seminar and spoke in Las Vegas 2 weekends ago, Don, and we had a quite a wide variety of questions that came up, and the question and answer part of it, and I just like to reiterate what I said there, because it's important now to understand the constitutionality of what's going on, and why these lawsuits really don't seem to go anywhere. It's a crying shame. Phil Berg was trying to get this heard before the election, even. You know, he filed a suit against the DNC. Which now concerns out the Nazi Pelosi, and the whole group had full knowledge that he was not qualified and didn't vet him correctly and actually signed off on it without, the review that was required as far as the certification of his credentials. That's all coming out, but it's been ignored as well, you see. And why do these lawsuits, Philip Berg, again, is an attorney as well, he was very confident that this would be heard and it would be settled before the election, even, that he wouldn't be allowed to run as a candidate. But nothing's happened. Well, it goes back to who is really in control of the court system, and what is a title of nobility. The 13th Amendment, which was ratified and made a part of the Constitution, was brought before the states in the year 1810, was ratified in 1811, which basically banned anybody with the title of nobility from serving in Congress. Now, what does that mean, a title of nobility? And title of nobility to who? Well, it was primarily aimed at those people who were given the title of nobility called Esquire or Squire. It's a title of nobility given to those that swear an ultimate loyalty oath, not to the United States, not to their natural born status, but to the Temple Bar in the city of London, in London, England. And again, it ties to the crown and the royalty. That's why you're given the title of Squire or Esquire, okay?
Yeah.
Now, that's basically now the same terminology that's given as a title of honor to those individuals, male or female, who have passed the bar examination and have taken their loyalty oaths to the bar. Well, ladies and gentlemen, who is the bar? The bar you would go get a drink or two? No. It goes back to the sacred area of the Masonic Temple Bar in the city of London. It's the bar that they would have to pass through to enter into the courts ruled by the Rothschilds and the financial district. Now, let's turn the clock back, Don, to 1811, when word of this atrocity reached the king of England. Immediately, even though he was embroiled in the Napoleonic Wars and was in, had the armies pretty much stretched out and the navies as well, he declared war on America, and the War of 1812 was the result. Now, that's the ultimate reason why the British came here and fought in that battle, the War of 1812. Now, Don, I'm going to ask you, I'm going to ask the listeners, this is what I'm going to, he might raise some eyebrows with this, but did America in reality win the War of 1812?
Of course they didn't. In fact, if you go back in time, ever since they set up the Virginia Company and the New England Company, we didn't stand a chance of winning any war we fought against England.
As you even go back to the Revolutionary War, Washington was able to sneak in and surround Cornwallis, and he, in fact, surrendered. But if you look at what the treaty that finalized it, it wasn't a surrender by Great Britain. Not like what we saw with Japan and the unconditional surrender following the war in the Pacific, and even the Axis powers after World War II. No. There was none of this surrender document. There was a ceasefire treaty, basically. It's called the Treaty of Versailles, the Treaty of Paris. And if you actually go back and read that document, as I have done, it's an eye-opener. How in the world could a winning nation be charged with war reparations? Okay, the colonies, through Ben Franklin's signing, agreed to pay King George for the Hessian troops that were killed. War reparations were demanded and signed and agreed to be paid by the 13 colonies, for heaven's sakes. Does that sound like an unconditional surrender and a winning of a war? It's there in the signed document. And it basically just reestablished trade relations with the crown. And that's what really stood out with that. There were some concessions given for tax, representation and this and that. And that's all part of the treaty, but those are very, very really kind of minor concessions. Well, look at what happened in 1812 during the war. We have the British contingent moving into the southern part of the nation in New Orleans, the famous Battle of New Orleans, where Andrew Jackson basically sent him sent the British troops packing, and he won that battle. But it was a battle. Did the British troops make it into Washington D.C. at the time? And did they capture the Capitol? The answer is absolutely yes, they did. In fact, the history of the Star Spangled Banner, our national anthem, is quite an amazing story. They're at Fort McHenry, right at the mouth of the Potomac going into D.C. That's where Fort McHenry was. And, of course, the British fleet was there and bombarded ready for an invasion of Fort McHenry, and to eventually, which was the key, Fort McHenry was the key to Washington, D.C. And Fort McHenry withstood the British bombardment of that that night, all night long, and in the mornings, as the sun rose, the Star Spangled Banner was flying over Fort McHenry. But the fact is that just a few hours after the sun rose, it fell to the British, and the Union Jack was flying over Fort McHenry, and the British troops marched and took control of Washington, D.C. Now, you know, ask yourself this, ladies and gentlemen, if we were fighting, and let's take this as an example, Baghdad, and if we were there in Iraq, if we hadn't captured the capital city of Iraq, would we ever have been able to declare the victory there in Iraq? Or would it still be ongoing if there were insurgents holed up and keeping control of their capital and their government was still in force, you see? Of course, that still the war is ongoing. When you take, even in modern times, but especially true in the earlier time frames, you know, if you march on Berlin and take Berlin, you win the war against Germany. Paris was taken by Hitler, and he controlled France, and on and on it goes. So the British did, in fact, take Washington, D.C., the capital. They basically took and burned much of the documentation of paperwork of the country. And if you look at what came at the end of the war to stop the war, the Treaty of Ghent, England, G-H-E-N-T is how you spell Ghent. If you read the Treaty of Ghent, you see that it was basically a victory for the British. And yet we're led to believe, you see, that we are a free and independent nation, when in reality we're not any more free than the Commonwealth of Canada or a Commonwealth of the Virgin Islands or Dominican Republic or Haiti, really. Still British control, and we're still the colonies of Great Britain, if the truth is actually known.
Yeah, isn't it a coincidence that there were 13 colonies, one for each of the Illuminati families?
Yes.
You think that's an accident? Oh, it's amazing. Well, see, as we uncover history, we're getting to the truth, aren't we? And of course, people have been taught these things, and they've lived their whole lives thinking that they were learning the truth, when in reality they were learning the very same things that those that were hoodwinked during those days learned. What was made available to the general public, and they brag about how few people fought in those early wars over this country, and still we're not told the truth. It's the same thing with the Civil War. What actually caused it, what was behind it. You know, we had a few presidents that were really pro-slavery, and I came across them and their missions during my genealogical research on presidents. It's no accident that that I found that certain presidents were pushing for slavery after slavery had already been abolished.
Yes, and so yeah, we see this, and as I explained to the good folks there in Las Vegas area, if you see the control of the House of Rothschild into the international banking community there in the city of London, and really how they control everything in America, and the corruption of these satanic ritual abuse high Masonic individuals, you see how deep it goes. It's nothing meaningful will happen, I think, until we have a true revolution of understanding and knowledge that breaks forth. Right now, we can look into the internet and read the Treaty of Ghent, England. Look at and how it was really, in my mind, a surrender of America back. Okay, then we talk about the importance of these legal documents, Don. You know, the certificate of live birth is a different document than a birth certificate. And that's what we're really talking about here with the long-legged Mac Daddy, aren't we? I mean, he has no certificate of live birth that he can produce. It's just like, you know, we think we own title to an automobile. We think we own the automobile if we have the title to it. Well, the reality is, ladies and gentlemen, that we, you know, when a car comes off of the assembly line, either in Detroit or Japan or wherever it's manufactured, there is something called a manufacturer's statement of origin, called an MSO. Now, that is really the ownership paper of that vehicle. But, you know, you don't own that. The state that you reside in, which is again, tied into this since the days of the Treaty of Ghent, the highways are maintained by the king. They're called the king's highways. And so the state grants you title to that vehicle, the title meaning that you have the right to run it on the king's highways, which are maintained by the tax base of the city of London, ultimately. Okay? You look back to the title. It has no ownership rights. The title is reserved by the state as a, you know, because the vehicle belongs to the person who brings the fiat currency to bear, which in this case is the City of London Financial District. And it's a king's highway and a commerce structure that allows this manufacturer statement of origin to be held by the crown and not by the individuals.
Yeah, well, they call it the law of the land, which is an extension of the law of the sea.
Yes.
Which is how they ruled, through the navies that went around the planet.
Admiralty laws, uh-huh.
Yes, yes, of course, maritime law, admiralty law, yes. It's, you know, it becomes more and more evident to me. And I see the footprints. it's becoming more and more evident that at least the past 10,000 years, this planet has been run by a cabal of organized crime masquerading as government.
Right.
And that has always been the excuse, how they've been able to pull it off. Officialdom. Royalties is one thing, okay, but there's nothing royal about them at all, except if you want to use it in a derogatory sense. You know,
right.
This is radio, so a royal this or a royal that, and I don't mean a royal flush.
Royal decree.
Yes,
degree. You know, it was kind of funny. I had a gentleman take me to task on the show. He says, well, you know, we've And this has been a lot of rumors going on. People have started attacking the messenger all the time.
Sure.
Well, you know, you don't have any real credentials as far as your PhD. It's a joke, yada, yada. Well, yeah, you know, it's not from Harvard, and it's not from Yale, it's not from BYU. And I explained to them, you know, the universities that that do the nutritional PhDs actually 15 years ago were out of Dresden, Germany, and Europe, and you just really didn't have many, you know, accredited universities even offering doctorates in nutrition. So it's funny that when I went through this, it was, you know, I paid the tuitions, paid the fees, and started the courses, that they flat out told me, they said, this is not accredited by the Board of Regents, which, again, I didn't understand what that even meant. Well, you know, the regents are, it's a Masonic appointment from the Masonic temple controlling everything back in the City of London, ultimately.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got, people, when you graduate with your honors, they dress you up in these black satanic robes and put a doggone funny looking little mortar board on your head.
Mm-hmm.
What is a mortar board but what carries the cement that was called HOD, H-O-D, on a mortar board that the masons used to cement and lay their bricks. I mean, think about it. How ridiculous is it to sit and put a mortar board on your head symbolizing that you have been taught and trained the way they want you to think? The mortar board on your head just is symbolizing that, hey, I've got a bunch of mud that's setting up there, and I'm going to march to their tune again, you see. So I explained this to this gentleman. I said, look, my doctorate is not from an accredited university, but it's the information that counts. It's the knowledge of the system. Now, you tell me what the Board of Regents is all about. It's got a, you know, and you got so many, whether it's a medical doctor, a doctor of nutrition, a naturopath, you've got to, the state wants to control you by a license. They want to control what you say and ultimately what you think. And it's what's happening in Canada, America, so much of the European Union, worldwide in the West, really. It's this controlling board of high masons that operate out of the City of London that makes such a strong influence. So people don't think outside the box anymore, Don. They don't want to question or attack the establishment, whether it's in the form of common sense and the so-called swine flu hoax that they perpetrated on us to get people to line up for a vaccine that very well may cause sterility, permanent sterility. Don, do you know how many people I've talked with and have had emails sent to me that have lost babies, had stillborn babies, or aborted their fetuses after taking this vaccine? It's stunning. Many, many thousands of women in this country have lost their babies because of this vaccine.
Well, the individual that's demanding certification is showing how much they're controlled by the system. In other words, to have permission to teach or permission to earn the type of living that one who is certified would earn, you must have that certification. They must know that your life has a value, a marketable value, a value that can be gambled in derivatives and hedge funds and insurance policies, secret policies that you're not privy to. Or, in another sense, you have the characters like Henry Ford, who bragged about not going beyond the third grade, but he's running a multi-billion-dollar company, and despite the fact that he didn't even have a high school diploma, His company last year got how many billion dollars of bailout money? You know, I mean, let's look at the facts here. Have you received a penny of bailout money yourself, Dr. Rott?
Of course not.
Okay, and maybe your degree is not from an accredited school, in other words, one approved by a secret society, but should that be the pretext? You know, this is, again, more organized crime is all it is, you see?
The sadness is, Don, it's got people into a brainwashed set that they think this has to be the way it is. You ask them why, what makes it the way it is, you see? What makes what they call the established norm the norm? What makes it? Who declares that and from what sources it come? Again, goes back to the City of London and the British East Indies Company and the and the programming of our medical professionals through the medical colleges and the attorneys, the esquires that will not want the boats to be rocked in the courts, whether it's Orly Tates or Philip Berg or Drew's guest, whatever what his name was again. But you see,
Mario Apuzzo.
Yeah, there's just going to be a lot of smoke screen being, you know, puffed out in the air, but until we get to the root cause of who is really behind this government, nothing will change. You've got attorney John DeCamp and his expose in the Franklin cover-up, which is so very apropos today because it, you know, these people are still in power. They're still in force. They're still operating. They are way above the law, Don, and it's just absolutely wrong.
Actually, they're below the law, I think.
Yes.
You know, you pointed out some good things, interesting things. When you talk about accreditation, we could go into the certificate of live birth. We could go into the phony school documents. I mean, are you aware, and I'm writing a piece on this, by the way, I did a belated study of the alleged entry records or the registration records of Obama in this school in Jakarta, written on graph paper. Mm-hmm. In fact, you can read through the title on the back side of the paper in Indonesian. It says scores and points in Indonesian. And
right.
They used the backside of that paper and used a piece of carbon paper to draw lines that are not parallel or square. You have these boxes where when you magnify the box, the lines separate. And they're not even at right angles to each other. I mean, it's just totally absurd how fraudulent these alleged documents are. And the only legitimate documentation I think that exists for him are the 17-year-old parking tickets from Somerville, Massachusetts, that amounted to some $400. You try and levy some parking tickets and get away with paying them for 17 years and see if you don't end up in prison. And yet, it was poo-pooed. Oh, lots of people have parking tickets. Lots of Americans do, but foreigners or people from another planet? I mean, where is he from? You know, it's a shame. It really is. The amount of corruption, and we can keep underscoring this and repeating it over and over. Maybe that's what we have to do, just keep repeating it like they do their commercials and their mantras.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that?
Absolutely. Well, you know, it's the individuals, I think, on these alternative radio shows that keep hammering, and hopefully enough people can start waking up from their hypnotic trances to say we've see through it now. We see through the fog, and we demand change, and real change, a change you can really believe in.
Yeah, you know, when they offer, and to me, knowing how corrupt the election process is, those that say, well, vote them out of office, they get in through the corruption, okay? Uh-huh. They never were voted in, the majority of them, you see, I suppose. And I suppose as much as I disdain John McCain, Obama probably had fewer votes. I'm certain of that. Media exposure is one thing, but I'm certain that he didn't have the votes. It was a done deal. People were bribed to just accept this. Did we see a vote count anywhere? A legitimate vote count? You know.
Yeah, good point. Good point. And it's like an appointment anymore. You know, it's obvious with George Bush and his victory in Florida, the obvious use of Jeb Bush and as governor of Florida to influence the outcome. Not to say that Al Gore would have been any better. I mean, it's two heads of a counterfeit coin, obviously.
Yeah.
But doggone it, it's just wrong.
We would have had the benefit of the inventor of the internet in the White House, though, you see, and then we could probably come up with a program to get rid of global warming, right, with the internet.
Yeah.
Oh, I've got a question for you that came in from Drew Raines. He wants to know if you feel there's any peaceful solution to resolving who these elitists are in control behind the scenes. And if not, how bloody do you think it will be to retake this nation?
Well, I really think, Drew, that, again, if you read this Black Awakening, we may not have the choice. I think, I'm really convinced that when they activate this on the date they have in mind and activate these Manchurians, it's going to be hand-to-hand combat in the streets itself, and then we'll see again Interpol coming in through these executive orders without, you know, basically any oversight by the people. No Freedom of Information Act oversight, no habeas corpus, no search and seizure warrants, none of this will be, there's got to be a reason why he brought down these barriers in favor of Interpol. And I'm telling you, the only thing that makes sense is the activation of these sleeper agents to cause absolute rioting and anarchy, and he'll come out and call it a civil war, but it's, a civil war that's agitated by him. And I'm here to tell you, there's a lot of people in this so-called alternative movement that I think are Manchurian candidates myself. I really believe that some of the most famous alternative talk show hosts are controlled, and mm-hmm. they will be part of the problem.
Yes. Now, you mentioned Interpol, and in my genealogical research of the long-legged Mac Daddy, when I first discovered the connections to the money laundering and the real estate, he's the head of the German Detectives Union, and they sent him, I'm trying to think of his last name, Klaus is the first name, a common German name. I noticed he had an address in McLean, Virginia. He had a couple of addresses in Georgia, and there's no doubt that this is the same individual. In fact, this tied in with Europe. Absolutely. They had sent him to Sofia, Bulgaria, we're talking about the EU, to investigate the possibility of tackling organized crime in Sofia, and he came back with this report that it was so pervasive they couldn't do it. Yet, as far as I see it, he's part of it. He's one of Obama's handlers.
Uh-huh.
And I could make that connection via the real estate. And there were some other people from Holland in the same league. And that's all in my writing, in the first couple of pieces I did on Obama in my Three Stooges series. And it reminds me of how they were ready to form Interpol and did at the end of World War II. When they had Operation Paperclip here, And Scorzani, Otto Scorzani, talked a lot about that, how he and Bush set this up.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they used Alan Dulles as the front man. And I had even discovered John Foster Dulles had been traveling with Circuit Chautauqua, which was a socialization project that toured the country for a number of years. And they were bringing German oompa music and these orators from all over the world to condition people. It,
mm-hmm.
it was a mind control program.
Mm-hmm.
Randolph Churchill was on the list. I was amazed at some of the people, but many of them became politicians after this. They had basically gone around and familiarized themselves with the people, and they all ran for office. So this whole thing was being put together. And at the end of World War II, Reinhard Galen thought he would be the likely candidate to run Interpol. Instead, he was made an agent of the CIA and the KGB.
Right.
He was a double agent for both agencies. So Interpol is nothing but an outgrowth of the international intelligence agencies. It's not operating like a police force, it's operating like a black ops intel agency, as I see it. That they would choose or consider Reinhard Galen as one of those individuals. And he's in the picture in the Scherf article that I did. He was associated with Bush as the Scherfs, as the spies and infiltrators of Nikola Tesla's technology and his businesses. They've been involved in this type of thing since they first came to this country under fraudulent pretenses. And so there's nothing upright about these organizations, and I'll come right out and say it. I'll call it like it is.
Right.
And the connection to Obama is also through that Russian connection. The same thing. They certainly know who this is. This is being done under the pretext of cleaning up the sovereign funds in the banking industry to release the funds to all these people that were scammed through these Ponzi schemes, the derivatives and hedge funds. That's the reason the pretext for them being here. But if the idea is to turn this country over to a police agency, an international police agency, what do you call this if this isn't fascism and communism? What is it?
Well, that's exactly what it's called. You know, this has been going on in the international banking circles for decades and decades, as you know, Don. And so it should concern America today that these Ponzi schemes are now just now, they're cashing in their chips, basically. The way I see it, the reason they're trying to pull the money in, which is, you know, the actual wealth, whether it's food stores or whether it's gold or silver or whatever, precious metals. I think it's because, again, there's going to be a major reshuffling of the population base through these forced nihilist wars. I mean, that again, I keep going back to that, the Black Awakening, which is so absolutely on point with it. I read that, compared notes with what I've uncovered here, and I'm bringing some of these victims now that have agreed to come public. They'll be on my show, and hopefully within a week, and it'll just blow your mind what you're going to be hearing. They've said, look, we don't have much time left. Yes, we're afraid that we may be, you know, executed, but we've got to tell what we know concerning the end game programming. It's sobering in the extreme.
Yeah, well, this has been going on for, you know, hundreds of years. This is not something new. It's
right.
Been very methodically plotted out and carried out. Due to the fact that people are waking up, they're pushing it, you know, they've put it into fifth gear, so to speak. But doesn't mean that that it's lost. Obviously, it's just another dimension of their psychopathy, if you want to call it that.
Exactly. Well said. Yeah, and you know, it's it goes back again to the tie-in to the Rosicrucian Order, again, going, which is part of the Masonic cult operating out of the city of London. The so-called Georgia Guidestones, erected by a guy named R.C. Christian. It's not a guy. It's really, that's a code name for the Rosicrucian, the signature of the, you know, secret society of the Rosicrucians is R.C. Christian. It's pointing those Georgia Guidestones. It's a, you know, if you understand the astrological structuring of those stones and the constellations they're lined up to, it's pointing out to a culmination of all this to coincide again with the Mayan calendar of the end coming by December 21st of 2012. But who the heck are the Mayans that would make these ancient prophecies and predictions? Well, I would just remind the listener that the Mayans are the doggone occult of the serpent. They're deep into child and human sacrifices and blood rituals. And make no mistake, their god is the god of the demon horde. And so they who are in control of this right now, Don, are those top-level Luciferian worshipers, and they want and think it's in the best interest of their god to greatly limit the human population. So if that's the truth, that's the battle we're facing. Okay, so be prepared, I guess. Keep your powder dry is the message I need to send. I'm a peaceful man. I'm absolutely peaceful and peace-loving, but I will fight to defend my right to live and enjoy happiness, to find happiness, and more importantly, to be free, okay?
Yes, absolutely. Well, we're out of time. I want to stress that in no way did we even discuss what we were going to talk about tonight on the show, and yet the two shows that we've been involved in earlier in the day touched upon all of this to some extent.
Exactly.
The perversion, the secrecy, the secret societies, the corruption. It's quite obvious who we're dealing with here. And to look for sort of mainstream remedies to this, I don't think so. I really don't. The whole concept of an election is based upon fraud. Those who count the votes are in control.
Yeah, exactly. Especially now with DynCorp and that whole situation, the Diebold voting machines. Oh my heavens! Yeah, it's just so easy to manipulate through the computer structures these voting machines. It's a farce, an absolute terrible farce.
Yeah, I brought up an issue on my show very recently. I think it may have been as recently as this past Friday. We have videotape that it was published on the internet on YouTube of people making 80 separate ballot votes. One person making 80 votes. All on film. And you want to say that we have an honest election system? You don't even need the electronic machines to do that. The guy had 80 tickets to vote on. So
yeah, amazing.
So we need this nation's government needs a drastic enema.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hydrogen peroxide and baking soda.
And some toilet paper to go with it.
Yes. Well,
is done until the paperwork's completed. They're done.
Yes. if you want to give out any website information before we close here, be my guest.
Well, thanks, Don. Yes, my company's Mother Earth Minerals. The website is www.meminerals.com. And it's a pleasure being on your show again. Thanks for having me, Don.
Okay, it's a pleasure having you on. I look forward to seeing you next week as well.
Okay, God bless and be safe, Don.
Okay, you too. By the way, Drew Raines recommends to all the listeners, and Dr. Ott, if he's still there, to take a look at Network 1976 before Wednesday. And I guess you should watch this and reflect upon what you see there. Network 1976. I haven't seen it myself, so thank you, Drew. Okay, well, that about wraps it up, folks. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com, and tonight's special guest, Dr. A. Drew Ott. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network and blogtalkradio.com. I'd like to thank the folks at bbsradio.com, Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, Seth Hendrick on the sound, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join us again tomorrow night. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.